Hij staat bekend als een van de grootste biografie-schrijvers van dit moment, misschien zelfs in de hele geschiedenis. Hij heeft fantastische boeken geschreven over Albert Einstein, Steve Jobs, Leonardo da Vinci, Benjamin Franklin, Henry Kissinger en nu zijn laatste boek over Elon Musk. En dan heb ik het over Walter Isaacson. Hij staat bekend als een uitzonderlijk denker, een sublieme observeerder en vooral een bijzonder mens. 2 jaar lang liep hij mee in de voetsporen van Elon Musk, de beroemdste mens op onze planeet, maar ook wellicht de meest controversiële. Mr. Isaacson, such a pleasure to talk to you. Was Elon Musk on your bucket list? How did the idea emerge to follow him?
I've always liked people who were innovators, who were disruptive. And I did Steve Jobs, who brought us into the digital revolution. And then I wanted to do somebody who brought us into the life sciences, the gene editing revolution. So I did Jennifer Doudna. Well, the natural person to do next was Elon Musk, because he was bringing us into the era of space travel, commercial space travel, and into the era of electric vehicles. So we had a long conversation, and I said, I'd like to do this book not based on 5 or 10 or 15 interviews, but based on being by your side whenever I want for 2 years. And I also said, you're going to have no control over the book. I'm not going to show it to you in advance. And he said yes to both conditions. So for the past 2 years or so, I've been reporting right next to him and try to tell the narrative story, the storytelling story of what he's been doing.
Yeah. You mentioned that you had two strong conditions, that he had no saying on the book. Was he easygoing?
He was very easy at the beginning when I said, these are my conditions. He just said, okay. He said, sure. He's not an easygoing person. You know, there were times when he would, I'd watch him get very angry at people, just like Steve Jobs did. There were times I watched him get into very, you know, moody periods, but also when he was inspiring and funny and happy, and especially when he was walking the factories, he loved to get involved in the manufacturing of his products.
You were talking about his character, but how wild was the ride for you? You already said that he had some mood swings. People also say that he has 5 or 6 personalities. Is he a little bit Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
He's definitely Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, just like his father is. And he can switch from being very happy and inspiring to being very dark and moody. And that was one thing that surprised me, is how he had these different personalities. And sometimes when people say, did you like him? I'll say, well, there's certain times I really did like him and certain times I didn't. And sometimes he gets into a dark, moody personality and he posts, you know, things that are not good, because he's in a, and he posts conspiracy theories or fringe ideas.
Well, some people say demon mode is really unattractive, but demon mode gets shit done. Is that how he gets his shit done when he is in the demon mode?
Well, that's what his girlfriend, Claire Boucher, known as Grimes, said, which is it's not pleasant to be around him when he's in demon mode, but that's when he can get things done. He just gets very focused, sometimes cold and angry at times, but he makes people understand the mission and how it needs to get done.
Is he different in private as in a public figure? Was he different to you?
Yes, there were times when he would just be very quiet and I wouldn't say anything. And then he would start talking just in a low voice about his childhood or some things in his past. But I don't think my presence influenced the way he acted. In other words, he could be just as happy or just as dark when I was around as he was when I'm not around, because I'd ask people and they'd say, no, your being around him does not affect the way he behaves.
You mentioned his father already, and his mother, May, once said, the danger for Elon is that he becomes his father. Is the father the skeleton key to understand how he is now as an adult?
There are many keys to understanding Musk, But like most driven people, you have to go back to childhood and see what demons and drives were instilled in him as a child. And one of the strongest was his father, who was a very tough and psychologically abusive father, according to Elon, at times. When Elon got beaten up in the playground because he had no friends and he was scrawny and he was not very good at social interactions, his father sometimes took the sides of the people who beat him up and told Elon that he was useless, that he would never amount to anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Elon ended up developing some of the tough personality of his father and this habit or trait of switching personalities sometimes.
Mm-hmm. What was the main trick to get Elon Musk talking?
Stay silent. In other words, when he wasn't ready to talk, I'd sit there with him. Sometimes we'd be just the two of us, and I'd ask a question, and he wasn't really ready to answer, and he'd go silent, and I'd just stay silent for 5 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes. And then eventually he would start talking.
And, of course, he runs six or more companies. How does one single man manage to do so? Is he a multitasker?
He's not really a multitasker. That means he would do many things at once. What he does is he focuses very sharply on one detail at a time, one task at a time. And so he may spend an hour dealing with the valve on a rocket engine. Then he may spend 2 hours dealing with full self-driving and how a car would make a left turn at an intersection on full self-driving. And then he'll spend 2 hours on some detail involving Twitter. And so he would just go from detail to detail. And he said, if you focus on the details, the rest of your team at the company will take care of the other details.
We all have to admit that Elon Musk has become one of the most popular people in the world, not just because he's wealth, of course, but because he controls Starlink satellites and private space travel, and he's a major part of a geopolitical conflict now. So let's not forget that he is a breathtaking technologist. And I'm curious how you saw him dealing with that power and whether you think it's something that he actually wants to prove himself for his youth, I think, or that he is trying to get rid of that power.
Well, I do think he loves being important, which is why he wanted the book written. And I think personally, he has too much power, for example, to be able to decide whether Starlink should be used by the Ukrainians to attack Crimea. That's mm-hmm. probably too much power for a private citizen. But even he admitted that. He said to me, how did I get in this war? I just wanted Starlink to be used for people to watch Netflix movies or play video games. And so he talked to the U.S. military and transferred some of his power to the military. So they now control some of the Starlink services.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one question is, should he have so much power? Another, and this is what the book addresses, is how did he get so much power? And part of it was he built satellites that could work where other company satellites went down when the Russians tried to hack them. And he was able to build, you know, a charging network for cars that worked when the government one didn't. And he's been able to make rockets that can take astronauts into orbit where mm-hmm. NASA, our own government, and Boeing can't. So it's a question of how did he get so much power? And then, given his personality, is it a good thing that he has so much power?
And let's talk about X or Twitter. Were you in the room with Elon when he bought Twitter?
Yes, I was with him, and he was just opening up a huge factory in Texas for Tesla. He had opened one in Berlin, and all was going well. He had sold 1 million Teslas. His rockets had shot up more than 30 times successfully and landed and was able to be reused. And he's the type of person who can't savor his success. In other words, he can't just sit back and be happy. He says, I'm like a video game addict. I always have to go to the next level of the game. Mm-hmm. And so he told me and people around him, I'm thinking of buying Twitter. And I think that was a bad idea because he has a good feel for engineering, but not a good feel for human emotion.
Because even in advance, he was convinced that almost everyone who works at Twitter was incompetent. Where did that belief come from?
Well, they had not created any new parts of the product for 2 years. They hadn't put full motion video. And he spent time with a few of his colleagues from Tesla looking at the coding. He mm-hmm. just sat there on a computer looking at the coding that the engineers at Twitter had written. And he decided he was going to fire more than 80% of those engineers. And he did so in the first 2 or 3 weeks. And I thought, well, that means Twitter won't work. But, you know, it had some problems, but now it works with only 20% of the employees.
So that is the business guy. How is he as a father? How much did you see him interacting with his kids?
He is very intense as a father, just like he is, you know, with anything he does. He had 11 children. One of them died in infancy. One transitioned to being his daughter and won't speak to him now because she's very anti-capitalist. But the other children dote on him, and he's always bringing them wherever he goes. So he has a strong and intense relationship with most of his children.
All of his children have special names, but talking about a name, I read in your book that his mother, May, was first planning to call Elon Nice as his first name. That would have been a little bit hilarious, I think, to call him Mr. Nice Musk.
Well, they were going to call him Nice, N-I-C-E, after the city in France where he had been conceived. But of course, in English, in French, you call it Nice, the city.
Yeah.
But in English, those four letters make the word nice. And that would, as you said, been very funny.
What should we remember about this mercurial guy, like you name him, that even though he has all these flaws and he can be unpredictable and cruel at times, is that what we need to get electrical cars and rockets and satellite internet and all these other things? Is that the deal?
Yeah, I think that he will be remembered for space travel, bringing us into the era of electric vehicles, being able to manufacture things both in Europe and the United States instead of sending them off to Asia to be manufactured. I think he'll also be remembered for Twitter, but not in a good way, because I don't think he has made Twitter a little bit more toxic. It has more poisonous comments on it. And I don't think he's as good running Twitter as he was getting us into space, getting us into the era of electric vehicles, and now building robots and artificial intelligence.
Mr. Isaacson, will you ever write a biography of a living person again?
After I deal with somebody, especially one who is as intense as Elon Musk, I sometimes go back in history. And so maybe for my next book, I will go back in history. But there are a lot of living people worth writing about.
Mm. You still contact each other? Do you still text each other?
Not really. I'm not his pal. Every now and then, since the book came out, I'll be in the same place he is and we'll talk. He hasn't commented on the book, and that's fine. Because as I said at the beginning of our work on the book, my work on the book, you know, he doesn't have control over it. And so he just laughs and said, well, I didn't read it because you told me not to read it. Well, he may have read it, but he jokes and says he hasn't.
Mr. Isaacson, may I thank you very much for making time for us. And I wish you all the best. I know that you are coming to Belgium. Do you have any special relationship with Belgium?
I love Belgium. I've been there many times, and my wife and I are looking forward to being both in Bruges and in Brussels. When I was a journalist, of course, I spent time in Brussels. And Bruges is one of the magical cities. I'm from New Orleans, which is an old city, and I love cities that are beautiful. So both Bruges and, of course, the vibrancy and the excitement that you find in Brussels appeal both to me and to my wife. So it's going to be wonderful to be back there.
It will be wonderful to have you here in Belgium and Bruges and Ghent, of course.
And by the way, sorry, I did not mean not to mention Ghent, which is also one of those old magical cities. And we're having a great event in Ghent,
yes,
and in Brussels. So we will see all those cities.
Okay.
Thank you.
I wish you a safe trip coming here and enjoy your stay in Belgium. Thank you very much. Walter Isaacson komt zaterdagavond 25 november exclusief naar Gent in de Gelamco Arena om over zijn boek te praten en om jullie vragen te beantwoorden. Je kan je tickets nog boeken op businessam.be/Elon Musk.